Do you have multiple passions? Ever get that feeling of wanting to create a bunch of different businesses or products? I think every true entrepreneur can relate, and I know that our guest on today's show certainly can. In this episode of the Passive Project Podcast, we sat down with the lovely Kelsey Baldwin of Paper and Oats. Kelsey has been an online entrepreneur for years and has had an incredible journey. A graphic designer by trade, Kelsey has created a wildly successful Etsy shop selling digital download printables. She teaches students about InDesign and Etsy through her online courses and has even published a book about her journey through divorce and being a single parent. This is an amazing episode for anybody who has felt that pull to multiple passions. Kelsey shares how she has grown her business, how she has shifted focuses and pivoted over time, how she stays true to her vision, and so much more. That is all coming up in today's episode of the Passive Project Podcast. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, everybody. I am so excited to welcome Kelsey on to the podcast today. Welcome, Kelsey.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So Kelsey is a master of so many things. She is an InDesign teacher. She's an Etsy shop owner and educator. She's an author. She's a mom. She's an entrepreneur. She is just an incredible person. And so Kelsey, I'm so excited to have you here. Do you want to just like introduce folks just a little bit to you and your business, if they haven't kind of come across Paper and Oats before? Just tell them a little bit about what you're all about.
Yeah, so I'm Kelsey. I run a business called Paper and Oats, and kind of it's evolved a lot throughout the years, but what it's been for the last few years is mainly teaching other creatives about design and marketing, and specifically about how to use a program called Adobe InDesign. I'm a graphic designer by trade, so I kind of transitioned out of client work and into more of teaching and online courses, and I really enjoy the flexibility that all of that brings. I'm a single mom, and my daughter Poppy just started kindergarten. So I have a lot more work time all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's kind of life-changing when that happens.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot more work done these days. So yeah, I kind of also blog about and write about how to balance those two things and kind of just what that journey has looked like for me. So lots of things I'm dabbling in.
Yeah, amazing. So can you just like, because you do so many things, what was the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey? Like, what was the first thing? Was it was it graphic design kind of client work or something else?
Yeah, I started, I kind of discovered that graphic design like was a thing in high school. And I kind of always as a kid was just like making things, and I would like sell, like my dad worked from home, and I wanted to be a teacher for a long time, and I would make worksheets and like make him do these worksheets about like geography and things. And he totally played along. And I would like set up an office supply store in his office and like sell him his own office supplies. And he would pay like 10 cents for a staple or whatever. it was really cute. But so then like at the end of high school, I kind of started doing freelance work like for the church that I was at. And then in college, I think that was when Etsy first was like kind of becoming more of a thing. This was in like 2006. And so I started just selling like leftover stuff from art classes in college on Etsy. So like paintings or drawings from my art classes, like, you know, you had to do like 5 copies of whatever in
right.
a printmaking class. And I would keep 1 copy and sell the other 4 on Etsy. So I was just kind of like dabbling in these different things. I got on Craigslist and found creative in the gig section, the creative gigs, and was like emailing people to do logos for free. Kind of in my town where I live, it's not very big, so there wasn't a whole lot there. But I quickly was kind of like, oh, I don't have to be in the same city as the person I'm working for. And so I was on, you know, New York's creative gig and emailing tons of people every day, just offering to work for free. So that's kind of like how I got started. It's kind of a weird
I
mix
know, I love
from.
that. And it just goes to show like that scrappy entrepreneurial spirit, right? Like I think sometimes people get started and they see, I don't know, people's income reports, or they've like gone down that rabbit hole, right? From Pinterest or people's blogs or whatever, and think that, you know, it might be a lot, frankly, easier than it actually is, right? Like we all have to start from the bottom and real, and you know, those like $10,000 months or $30,000 months, like that doesn't happen overnight. And you know, I think a lot of the people who are at that level, when you go back and look at where they started, like it's kind of amazing to see the journey. So I had a very similar kind of start of like, yeah, Etsy shop, like selling just I'm not an artist, so like just horrible
All
stuff,
my
like at
stuff
the
is so
beginning,
bad.
and all the things. Like I offered all the services I could think of, like just, you know, testing the waters, right? So let's talk about your Etsy shop a little bit to get started. So, because you've been running obviously an Etsy shop for a long, long time. It's amazing to me when you just said 2006, like that it's been that long since Etsy's come around. So can you tell us a bit about what your shop looks like now and what you sell?
Yeah, so kind of around, I was kind of dabbling in lots of different things, selling on Etsy and like cards and magnets, and considered granola at one time, hence paper and oats. That's when the name emerged.
No, really?
Never, it was like literally maybe like lived for a couple of weeks, and then I was like, no, that's not gonna work. I can't sell
But the
food.
name stuck.
Yeah, but I just kept it. I don't know why. I
That's
was like,
funny.
maybe I'll circle back to it someday. But I kind of like, after a while, I was working at a design agency, and they were wonderful and let us do freelance on the side with other clients. So I kind of had all of that running in the background. And I was literally homesick one day from work. Or no, I faked sick. I think I like discovered it one evening, and the next day I was like, I need to like research this. This could be a thing. And it was right when Etsy was offering digital downloads. And I kind of, yeah, I called in sick the next day and just researched all day long, looking at shops on Etsy that did that. I think it all started because I was looking for like a meal planner or something, to help just for myself personally, and kind of discovered that this was a thing. And I am an organization freak, and I love designing forms and like stuff like that, like a weirdo. So I was kind of like blown away that like people were selling these. And I never could find like a design style that existed that I liked, something that was just really clean and simple and kind of gender neutral. So yeah, called in sick, started designing like packet of calendars and listed it right away, and it like sold the next day. And I was like, whoa, like people like these things. There weren't very many digital download shops on Etsy at that time. Now there's a ton, and it's a little bit harder to stand out, but I feel like I got in at a good time, and just quickly was adding things every night. I would come home from work and just design, you know, maybe like a packet or a kit and list it that night and just do that every night.
And just so people understand, they're all like organizational kits. So it's like meal planning, back to school, they're theme some of them are thematic.
Printable planners, organizers, health trackers or travel planner, moving planner, kids stuff, mom stuff. So it was like they were really fun for me to put together, and yeah, quickly was kind of, I think like a couple months after listing things, I had made like $1,000 from it in 1 month, which was like blowing my mind. It was
Absolutely.
almost what I was making at my 9 to 5 day job. And I was like, this is fun and a lot easier. And once it's up there, I could just keep selling the same thing over and over. And so digital products were kind of introduced to me at that point.
And what do you think, like besides the fact that you sort of got in at a good time, what do you think has been a big contributor to your success with that shop? Because it still does well. Like I was just going and checking you out before this interview just to see the like the latest look of the shop. And like, looks like you're still selling tons over there. And I don't know how much promotion you still do for that shop, but you know, what do you think has like played into that success for you?
Yeah, I think for sure getting in early on it. I know that's not always something you can choose or whatever, but
yeah,
I think that helped. I think the design aesthetic of the printables helped a lot. Like I said, everything I was seeing already was just a lot of like clip art and illustrations, just kind of cluttering up the page, I felt like. And I just mm-hmm. wanted something really clean and functional that wouldn't like eat up my printer ink, just like really practical stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that helped a lot. I always get a lot of comments of people who are in the same situation. Like, I've been looking all over Etsy for something that's just like really straightforward and doesn't have like unicorns and glitter all over it. And they're like, we found you. And we were so happy that it was just like simple. And I have a lot of men who are like, thank you that this doesn't have flowers on it.
Right.
And the colors are like, anybody can print them and use them and they don't feel super feminine or anything.
Right. And that's like a testament to you staying true to your own design aesthetic, but also remaining niched, like not wanting to try everything under the sun, like knowing that, like staying focused. I talk about this a lot of like keeping our blinders on and just like staying in our own lane. And I think you did that, you know, really well. And it's easy to want to do all the things, right? And like get really influenced by what we see other people doing, kind of subconsciously, it might affect our own creative work. And you obviously, you know, didn't succumb to that. So I love your shop and I think it's so beautiful and easy to navigate. And very, like the minute you land on your shop, you know exactly what it's about and exactly what you're going to get. And so, yeah, no, just kudos to you for having such a great job. Did you ever think about selling off of the Etsy platform or did you ever test that?
I did. Yeah. For many years, actually, I sold all the exact same printables on my website. And I just never got the same traction. I mean, people go to Etsy looking for specific things. And so I just was never able to like replicate that on my own.
Right.
And then it also got to a point where my, you know, I was teaching more about design and it was just like two separate avenues kind of, and they weren't really intersecting and it was getting confusing to like promote both of them. And so I kind of just left Etsy, took everything off my website, just kind of left Etsy up on its own to kind of literally run on autopilot. I don't really promote it. I played around with Etsy ads, like promoted listings for a season. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. I kind of quit that and just let it run on its own. And I've been playing around a little bit now with Pinterest ads to my Etsy shop actually.
Okay.
And I think that's given it a little bit of a boost. I feel like I'm still like testing those things and just seeing what works. But yeah, it's been amazing just to kind of have this little digital product machine on autopilot in the background that
absolutely
kind of lets me play around with other things in my business. And I know that like this chunk of money is probably always going to be there every month. And I don't really have to do anything to keep it going.
That's an amazing feeling. And I know for a time you sold a course about Etsy that you've since retired, but do you still sell I feel like maybe an ebook or some sort of self-study guide?
Yeah. I used to have a course on selling digital products on Etsy. Etsy was changing so much then it was just felt impossible to keep it updated.
Yeah.
Just the interface of it. And I was kind of removing myself from the Etsy world and just letting my shop run on autopilot. And I just didn't feel as like involved in the changes they were making.
Right.
And so didn't feel as qualified to teach on it, but I did condense the whole course down into an ebook that's a little more generalized and less like click here, then click here, because they kept changing the interface. So that is still available, the Etsy on autopilot ebook version.
Okay, we'll make sure to include the link in the show notes so that if anybody wants to check that out, if maybe you're thinking about launching an Etsy shop with digital products, that might be a great place to start.
Yeah, it's definitely for beginners and kind of how to just get into the whole thing.
Perfect. Okay, let's talk a little bit about InDesign, because I know, you know, after you set up your Etsy shop and you just mentioned you kind of moved more towards online courses and education. And I know that I don't know anybody else who teaches about Adobe InDesign. Like, I feel like you're it. So, can you just tell us a little bit about, my assumption is that you used Adobe InDesign to create your printables that you sell in your Etsy store, and that's where things got started. Is that right?
Yes, so a lot of them are created in InDesign, the printables, and then at the day job, the design agency I used to work for, I was the lead designer there, and we used InDesign for a lot of stuff and ended up working with a publisher, and I started laying out books for them and just kind of like really geeked out on InDesign and was like discovering how many different things you can do with it. And then when I kind of transitioned out of that job into freelance stuff and focusing on my Etsy shop and all of that, kind of just discovered that other designers, even like trained designers, don't know how to use it or don't have never tried it. And we're still creating, like long ebooks in Photoshop or something, which like hurts my heart. So I was kind of like thinking of, I wanted to get into online courses. That's kind of when they were first starting out, several years ago, and was like, what could I teach? And was kind of thinking about something design related and kind of had this light bulb moment of like, oh, people don't know how to use this program and it's like so valuable. So kind of started blogging about that and just seeing if people were also interested in learning about it and growing an email list around that specifically. And then pre-sold the course to a few people and kind of created it, tested it with that small group. They gave me a lot of really good feedback and made changes, and then kind of launched the full thing and realized courses are awesome. And this is the type of business I want to run. So
Absolutely. And
yeah, it
so
kind of all
since
took off
then,
from
you've
there.
since like re I'm sure you've relaunched it a bunch of times. You continue to grow your list. And you're just continuing to like work with the students that are in there, I'm sure. And it's just continuing to evolve, right?
So I kind of transitioned slowly out of client work over about like 6 months or so after that. And then transitioned into just selling the course full time. And I've launched it 8 times now, I think, which is crazy. And
But
just
I
earlier
love
this
that because
year,
like a lot of people, they'll launch something once or twice and then they get shiny object syndrome and they go on to something else without staying true to like just rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, and like become really known for that thing, right? And like I think so many of us, like when we think of, if I think of Adobe InDesign, like I think of you, right? And because I see you, like you talk about it a lot, right? And as you should be, because then we do have this like automatic like thought of Kelsey. And that's what, everybody who's listening, that's what you want to create with your own business, right? Is like become really known for that thing and have that like I would call that course like your signature product. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I
So,
definitely got the shiny object thing. Like I created the Etsy course after that and then was like, oh, managing two courses on two different topics, this is tricky. And eventually retired that after thinking about it for literally like 2 years. And once I did retire it, like it felt so freeing to just like have the one thing and focus on that and like you said, be known for that. And I re-recorded the whole course and just kind of made it like the best it could be. And it feels scary sometimes, I think, to it feels a little bit like putting all my eggs in that basket, but I think there's other things I can create that are still around this topic that aren't like going off on a squirrel tangent, to
I
something
agree.
different and
Absolutely.
shiny or whatever. So yeah, it's been a good decision for me, I think.
Absolutely. Before I have another InDesign question, but before I get to it, what your comment just now made me think like about retiring a course, because I think a lot of times people, if they've sold a course before and it came with a Facebook group, maybe it even came with some calls that they delivered, and then they feel unsure about how to kind of appropriately retire a course when maybe that is the right decision that they need to make for their business. Do you have any like pieces of wisdom from your experience in doing that of how to kind of go about it in a way that still honors the students who bought it?
Yeah, it was a hard decision for sure. Like I said, I thought about it for like up to 2 years, I think. But I left, like, the course content is all still there, and if they bought it, they have access to it for life. I'm never going to take that down. I just said I'm not going to update it anymore with Etsy's changes or whatever. I mean, most of the course is still relevant. It's just kind of some of those like granular tech tutorials. The interface just looks slightly different maybe.
Right.
So I just kind of made the announcement that I'm not going to update it anymore, but they still have lifetime access to all of it. And I'm not going to sell it to new students anymore. I did have like quarterly calls that I did with them. And before I retired it, I kind of phased those out. But also like fewer and fewer people were showing up to them. So it felt okay to kind of say, okay, I'm going to stop doing these. And then like several months later, okay, I'm going to close the course now or whatever.
Yeah.
And I did like, do kind of a final retirement sale whenever I ended it using a tool called Bump Sale, which like you start the price at a low price and every person that buys it bumps it up by a dollar. So it was kind of like a fun way to go out on a high note, you know, and let a lot of people in with the knowledge that this isn't going to stay updated, but there's still a lot of valuable stuff in it. And you can get it for a really cheap price. And
were any closing? Did you get any previous students feeling like upset about the fact that you put it on sale at the end or anything like that?
Not really. No. Yeah. I always do worry about that. I'm a people pleaser and I don't want anyone to be mad at me.
Ditto.
And so I definitely think about that probably too much, that kind of thing. But I try to remember, like, if I go to Target and buy some jeans and the next week they're on sale, I'm not like, I'm kind of like, oh man, but oh well, that's like, I know that they run sales and I can't be mad at them.
Exactly.
For that. And so I try to think of it that way. And yeah, I feel like, I can't remember exactly. I feel like I might've given some other small free thing to people when I closed it, people like the existing students.
Right.
I can't remember, but I feel like that's something I would have done.
Yeah.
No, like another small class or whatever, just like as a
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. So back to InDesign. Tell me, why would people want to use InDesign over something like Canva? I'm sure you get this question all the time. So
yeah,
for people who aren't familiar with InDesign, what is it that they need to kind of understand about the program to make it something that they should sort of think about looking into?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think InDesign is only for books or magazines or something that's like really, really long, lots of pages, lots of text. Mm-hmm. And it is really great for that and it's kind of made for that. But you can actually create like almost any graphic you would need for your business with just this one program rather than having to like bounce around between lots of different programs. Right. So you like, I do all my social media graphics in here, any like blog post graphics, infographics for a blog post, email headers, website graphics, like little collage of photos or with some illustration or something you can create in there. Yeah, workbooks, worksheets, any type of PDF you can think of. So it just has a lot more of like a wide range of things that you can do in it and a lot of automation features that help you like save certain settings for type and like kind of reusing page layouts in a template with a tool called Master Pages. And so there's a lot of ways you can like speed up your process as you're designing, and kind of the more you do in it, the more time you'll save.
Right.
Because it saves more of what you're doing. And you can keep your brand really consistent that way too by saving color palettes and all of that. So yeah, Canva is great for beginners, but it's very beginner and it just, everyone I talk to that uses it, comes a point where they're like, I just can't do what I want to do in here anymore. And I need to get to the next thing.
Right. Yeah. And I think I've seen some of your tutorials and stuff before, some of your blog posts about the ease of in which you can like create something once and then use that template again and again and again to like, for instance, your blog post images and make that like really easy to be able to batch create a bunch of stuff at once, or like it, you know, takes less than a minute, right, to go in and just create a new image for that blog post that's going to look really on brand for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps everything super consistent, which I think is really important in design.
Yeah. Okay. I want to change topics a little bit and just ask you a quick question, because I noticed that on your website, you have kind of like a charitable arm of your business whereby you donate a certain portion of your proceeds to different charities every, like you switch the charities over time. And this is something that we do as well. A big part of our membership, the Passive Project, is like every month, a portion of our membership dues are going to charitable partners that our members help us pick. And it's one of like my favorite parts of running the membership. And I have this like really big grand vision for what the membership can do in the world. And it's one of like the big reasons why I'm want to be an entrepreneur. And I'm not embarrassed to talk about money. We all want to make money. And part of my desire to make a bunch of money is to be able to do really good things with my money. Like I used to work in the nonprofit world, and fundraising was always a challenge. And there were always things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do because we didn't have the funds to do it. And I feel like I have such a more powerful position now as an entrepreneur to be able to make money and make that money do good. Right. And so I would love to hear a little bit more about you and your decision to do that in your business and why you felt like it was important.
Yeah. I totally agree. I like giving back is a really big part of my business. It has been since the very beginning. And so I used to give a portion of just what my Etsy shop made, to a different charity every like 4 months out of the year, I think I did it. Mm-hmm. And I would give 10% of that and just choose a charity, or have people nominate somebody, or I gave to like an adoption fund one time. So just kind of finding different things I could give to. And then as I have kind of put less emphasis on my Etsy shop and more on my InDesign course, now I've switched it to where, I give year round to fewer charities. So I can kind of give more to them.
Right.
And giving a portion of every student who joins my course, a portion of their fee goes to, right now I'm supporting a couple different ones. Preemptive Love Coalition, which supports refugees in Syria and Iraq, and then the Moms for Moms campaign from I Poor Life. And they're a great organization. They're based here in my hometown, and a really good friend of mine works there and approached me about maybe partnering with them around Mother's Day last year. And it's kind of continued on after that, which has been cool. But they help the program I specifically give money to with them is helping single moms actually in Ethiopia, and they kind of like have to register their kids sometimes as what's called half orphans, where they're they have a parent, one parent, the single mom, but they can't support themselves enough to take care of the child, so they kind of register them with the government as a half orphan. And so they support a group of moms there and helping them learn business skills and learn how to kind of create their own entrepreneurial journeys so that they can support their family and keep their kids. So it's really cool. And I love, like you said, the more money that I make, the more I am able to give to organizations like that. The design agency I used to work with too, worked with a lot of nonprofits. So just seeing how much little things add up, like hiring a design agency or printing, fundraising materials or whatever, that adds up. And so, I love to be able to help them if I'm able.
Yeah, I think that's so great. I also think it gives, the students who enroll in your course or buy your products, it makes them feel good too, right? They're like a part of that. Yeah. A part of that with you. And I love that. I know when I have purchased courses and programs where that has been a component, like that definitely adds to my like excitement about purchasing from that particular entrepreneur. So
yeah,
I love that. Okay. So now I want to talk about your journey, your motherhood journey, just a tiny bit. I'm not going to make you tell your entire story, but I know it is another big facet to you and your story and how you got to where you are as an entrepreneur. So, can you just give honestly, like the, don't feel like you have to go into all the details, but just a little bit of your story, your motherhood story.
Yeah. So I was married for almost 5 years and together for many years before that. So, and then he kind of said he wanted a divorce one day for no particular reason. And that same day, shortly after that conversation, I found out I was pregnant with our first child. And so
even though I've heard you tell this story before, and like, I think it was especially, you did an interview, I think with Brian Harris back in the day, about your motherhood journey. I still feel like goosebumpy whenever you talk about it. I just,
sometimes, when I say it, I'm like, what? That's crazy. That happened. It feels like many lifetimes ago. It was kind of, but, it was coming up on 6 or 7 years ago. Now I can't remember, 6 years ago. So we separated at that point, and I kind of went through pregnancy as a single mom from day one. And had the baby, Poppy, my daughter. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then we filed for divorce after she was born. So kind of, it's very strange to have never experienced motherhood with a partner. That's certainly not the story of motherhood that I thought I would have. I kind of started blogging about it, and just sharing a little bit more about it when she was a couple years old, and it felt, like I was starting to heal from it and I could reflect back on it. And knowing that when I was going through it, the stories that helped me the most were from women who were on the other side of it.
Right.
And had been through something similar, and they were, you don't get over it, but she was on the other side of it and thriving and had a kind of a new life, and was still like happy, and the grief wasn't always present. I kind of started writing about it so that I could maybe be that to somebody else who's just kind of starting on that journey. And people really resonated with it the more I wrote about it. And then I wrote a book about it.
Yeah. So tell us more about that. Strong Girl, Brave Girl. Tell us more about your book.
Yeah. So I started writing that over a year ago now, and kind of took my time to write it. I wanted to self-publish it so I could kind of do it on my own timeline. I just didn't know what this writing process was going to be like. It drummed up a lot of feelings and a lot of stuff I had to work through. It's kind of crazy to sit down and like write out your entire story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so it was quite a process, but I wrote it over the course of about 9 months and ended up self-publishing it last year on the anniversary of the day that he left, which was also the anniversary of many other things for the years to come if you read the book. It was a really cool way to kind of redeem that date a little bit and
absolutely
have something new connected to it that I can celebrate instead of something to mourn or grieve over. It's been really cool to hear. I think self-publishing a book for me anyway is definitely not a moneymaker at all. I lost money on it initially just from what I paid to print it and the editing and all of that. But I wanted, to just share the story. That's all that mattered to me. And so it's really cool still to get emails from people who have bought it or it was given to them and it helped them through. They'll share a little bit of their story and how, like, what parts resonated with them.
I think it has huge impact. And like, I was going just now to grab the Amazon link so we can put it into our show notes. And there's tons of amazing reviews, and I started to read them, and like, people are very impacted by the book. Obviously it's like holding somebody's hand through that part through that journey for them. Right.
Yeah. And it's not just for single moms. It's for, I talk a lot about different big life events that I think almost everyone can relate to one of them.
Right.
It's cool to see the wide range of people that have read it and what parts were helpful to them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, I will definitely include the link in the show notes so you guys can all grab a copy. Okay, so Kelsey, we've talked about a lot of things. Etsy, InDesign, motherhood, charitable donations. You're a multifaceted entrepreneur. So how do you balance it all?
Kindergarten helps. I feel like I had a long list of things all through the last several years. And I'm like, when she starts kindergarten and I can actually work all day, every day, then I'll do that thing.
Right. It is incredible what you've built with as a single mom with, you know, a young child at home. Like, it's amazing to me. So do you, just from a practical point of view, do you divide up your days so that on certain days you work on certain parts of your business and other days you work on other stuff? Or do you work in 2-week sprints? Like, do you have some sort of method to how you stay on top of everything?
Yeah. I don't really do like the one day, a topic for each day, whatever. That I tried that one time and I'm just like, I couldn't stick with it.
Yeah.
But I use Asana as kind of my master plan.
So do I.
Yeah, I live and die by Asana, and I just wake up every morning and do what it tells me to do.
Exactly.
But I just like dump any idea I have. If I can attach it to a date, even if I end up moving that 10 times, like as long as it's on my calendar, like I know it won't fall through the cracks. So even if I have an idea of like, oh, I want to like maybe sell templates on Creative Market someday, I'll like go into my calendar and like put like several months out, just say like, hey, research this or think about this. So then it can kind of pop back up. So that's kind of how I use it. And I just schedule out everything there. And I'm kind of always like, it's literally just always open in my browser in a tab. And I am always kind of looking out at the next several weeks and moving stuff around and I've been better. I used to like pile a ton of tasks on one day. And then
kind of like a due date day. And so it's just
Yeah. And then the more you work, then the more you can kind of see what can I realistically get done in this time frame. And I think it helps, I guess, one tip to balance that with all your personal life is I put my personal stuff in that calendar too.
Smart.
So, like appointments for my daughter or haircuts or
you put that into Asana.
Yeah. And like all of her school stuff, like everything is all there. So I can at least, like, she has an event at school coming up that I volunteered to help with. So I know like probably going to be busy for a lot of that day. I can't like schedule a lot of work that day. And so I like know already to keep that kind of clear. So that kind of helps me like forecast a little bit, I guess, my schedule and not pile too many things on one day.
Yeah. That's, I feel like this is a tip I'm going to take after this podcast, and I'm going to go take my Google calendar, my personal Google calendar, and put it into my Asana, because I, like you, always have my Asana calendar tab open on my computer right beside my calendar tab. And so I end up like going back and forth between them. And you're right. It would be a lot easier if it was also all just imported into Asana so I can really see it all. And I do the same thing as you, where I used to have all the tasks that I wanted to complete in a week, I would have them all on Friday so that I just like, as the week went on, I could just like click them off and it didn't matter when I did which one, as long as they were all done by Friday. But now I like have them by the day. So it's like, okay, I know on Monday, you know, I purposefully try and keep calls to Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so that Monday, Wednesday, Friday can be more like content creation type days. And so I will put things on the right days now. And so like you, I can wake up and look at what I need to do that day and just do it. But yeah, Asana is absolutely my best friend too.
Me too.
Okay, Kelsey, where can people find you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, my website is paperandoats.com. So lots of stuff is there. And then on Instagram, I'm at paperandoats. And that's kind of the main social platform that I'm on. So
perfect. We'll make sure that those links are in the show notes and that we also want to link to your freebie. So can you tell people about where they can, this is to learn more specifically about InDesign.
Yeah. So I have a free video training that teaches you how to design a lead magnet or like a free opt-in, lots of different names for it. Mm-hmm. Some kind of PDF How to design that from start to finish in InDesign, and then also a couple of promo graphics to go with it so you can share about it. And those are great ways to build your email list and kind of incentivize people to join your list so you can keep in contact with them. Or you could, use a PDF for just about anything else, you know, something to actually sell or add to a course or something like that. So I walk you through just over the shoulder, like video tutorial in InDesign of how I do that from blank page to fully designed, finished Amazing. Graphics. Yeah. And it's all free to watch.
Amazing. Sounds like such a great tutorial. So we will make sure that that class is linked up here so you guys can go and take that class with Kelsey and learn more about InDesign. And Kelsey, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
This episode is brought to you by Teachery. Teachery is the online course platform we use and love in our business and absolutely recommend it to you too. Sign up for your Teachery account through our affiliate link and we will send you a free graphics pack. The graphics pack includes plug and play graphics you can use to market your online course or membership. Our affiliate link is included in the show notes along with this episode.